I want to begin reading in verse number 1, and we're going to read through verse 8. Our text tonight is going to be verse 7, but I want to read these together. We've already looked at the first 6 verses, but I want to read them together in a unit because I think Peter is doing something here I'll point out here in just a moment. But verse number 1 of 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." And then he gives these instructions to these elders. And if you remember, we pointed out these elders are actually pastors. It's another term for the office of a pastor, the title of pastor. And he gives them instructions. He says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock." Then he continues on, "When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So he's addressing the elders in the first 4 verses there. Then verse 5, he says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another." And then he picks up another subject, "and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Then verse 7, he touches on another issue, "casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Then in verse 8, he picks up another issue, "Be sober, be vigilant." Why? "Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." I've entitled the message, "Dealing with Anxious Care," and I want to look at verse number 7, but I'll make a comment on all these verses we read here in just a moment. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come to you on this Sunday night, a holiday weekend, Labor Day weekend, and I'm grateful for everyone that made the effort to be in the house of God on a Sunday night, on a holiday weekend. I pray you'd meet with us, Father. I pray you'd stir our hearts to be prepared to walk with you and serve you and be a witness for you this coming work week. I ask, Lord, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. I yield my will again, and as every service, I present my body anew and ask that you would fill me and speak through me and speak to each of our hearts and minds. Help us to be willing to hear what you have to say. Help us to be willing to do what you instruct us to do and trust what you've promised us. So again, please meet with us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll notice here where we're at in the book of 1 Peter, we're winding down our study of the book of 1 Peter. We're getting to the end of this letter that he has written to these believers who are scattered all through the region they call Asia Minor there. And I noticed as I was preparing for the message tonight that he's ending this letter with a series of instructions. In the first 4 verses, as I pointed out, he's given instructions to the elders or the pastors. These believers have been scattered, run out of their homes, run out of their communities because of their faith in Christ. And now they're reassembling in these new communities, this foreign region for them, many of them. And they're reassembling together. They're getting their churches organized. They're establishing pastors or elders, to use his term. And so he gives them some instructions. Feed the flock. Be an example. Lead them. Give oversight. And then he, in verse number 5, the first part, he instructs the younger people in the church to submit to the elder people. And he gives some clear instructions there. Then the end of verse 5 and verse 6, he instructs all of us to be clothed with humility, to humble ourselves before God. We get to verse 7, and he addresses this subject of care, casting all your care on him. And then, Lord willing, in the coming weeks, we'll look at 8 and 9. We're dealing with the devil when we're dealing with the devil. But I want us to notice verse number 7. I believe verse 7 of 1 Peter 5 is a very, very precious verse. Let's look at it again, would you? "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Look, every word on there is a precious word. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Would you read that verse together with me? Let's read it again together, all together. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He's giving instruction here to these believers that are scattered and through the pages of Scripture to you and I. He's given us instruction on how to deal with what I'm calling anxious care. Now notice that word care there, casting all your care upon him. It has the idea, the word care there has the idea to be pulled apart, casting all your care. Those things that just feel like they're tearing you apart. It has the idea to be pulled in different directions. Do you ever hear somebody make this statement, or maybe you've made it? Man, this situation is tearing me up. Anybody ever hear that? It has the idea, it's just pulling me apart. I can't sleep at night. I can't keep my mind together. It is tearing me up. Or sometimes we'll say it this way, this thing is eating me up. That's the idea behind the word care. Tearing me up, eating me up. In other words, it is something that is taking away, it is something that is eating away or tearing apart my peace of mind. Would you agree with me? Peace of mind is something very valuable. To have peace of mind. I'm telling you, there are very, very popular, very, very wealthy men and women in our world that would give all their money and all their homes just to have some peace of mind. Peace of mind. I think there's two things that eat at our peace of mind, that tear apart our peace of mind, that pull apart that peace of mind that we all want so badly. One of them is sin. Sin will steal and destroy our peace of mind. If you would, keep your place here. And I want to look at a lot of verses tonight. So have your Bibles ready. How many say amen if you brought your Bible?
Amen.
Amen. I figure we bring them, we might as well use them, huh? So that's like going to the gun range with guns and never getting them out, huh? And so let's go to Isaiah chapter number 57. I don't know why I thought of the gun range there. I just think about that all the time, gun range. Isaiah chapter 57, back in the Old Testament there, go back there to Isaiah and get the verse, chapter number 57. This is probably a familiar verse with many of us. This is a good verse to underscore if you're in the habit of highlighting verses in your Bible. I have this one underlined and bracketed. Isaiah 57, and look with me at verse number 20, the last two verses of Isaiah 57. Notice what it says. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. I wonder if anybody here has ever been out on a boat or a ship in the ocean when that sea is churning and boiling and blowing up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody been out there? I've been out fishing sometimes, deep sea fishing. And brother, some storm blows in something comes through there. And man, you start up and down and over and backside. And man, you're being tossed all around. That's the idea here, he says, for the wicked are just like that. They have no peace. Look at verse 21. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. I'm telling you, that sin will eat us up. Guilt, shame, just tears us up. There's one thing that will steal and destroy and corrode peace of mind. That is sin in the heart and life, especially of a believer. We have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The chastening of God takes away that peace of mind. There's something else that destroys peace of mind. It's what we're going to look at tonight. First is sin. The second one is stress. That anxious care, that worry. I've seen folks, they get so upset, they get so anxious about something where they can't sleep at night. They'll go nights without sleeping. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Do you ever have something eating away at your heart and mind and you just lay there in the and stare at the ceiling and that thing's just eating you up, eating you up? Can I get a witness? That's what the Lord's talking about here. That stress, that anxious care. I've seen folks that would go days without eating. They just couldn't eat. They lose their appetite. They're so upset, so stressed out. So sin will steal our peace of mind, take away our peace of mind. Stress, not necessarily something sinful I'm involved in, but just a situation, just a circumstance, a need or a problem that has come up, and it just eats at my mind and affects me many times physically. Now, here's what's interesting. The solution for both of those, for sin, say, man, I got sin in my life. It's killing me. It's eating me up. It's tearing me apart. I've got this stress. It's just tearing me up. The solution for both is basically the same thing. Bring it to Jesus Christ. Bring it to Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I've sinned. My life is eat up with sin. What do I do? What do I do? Listen, you can go to churches. You can go to the Catholic church downtown. They're not going to be able to help you with your sin. Huh? You can go speak in tongues. You can do all this stuff. You can come Mountain Lake Independent Baptist Church, get baptized. That's not going to take away your sin. It's only one thing to do with sin. Bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. He died on that old cross for our sin, shed his blood so that we can be cleansed and purified and washed from our sin and be made clean and new, pure and peace of mind. So what we do with sin is we bring it to Jesus. Say, what do I do about my stress? I'm saved. I'm trying to live for God, but man, this thing's eating me up. Same thing we do with our sin. Bring it to Jesus Christ. Casting all your, what? Care. That anxious worry, that anxiety, that stress. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I got three thoughts tonight I want to give to you real quickly. Number one, I want us to notice the assumption that is made in this verse. Now, I'll explain what I mean by that. Look with me again. Come back there to Peter. Keep your Bibles. We're going to look at some other verses here in a bit, but keep your place at 1 Peter. Notice it says, casting all your care. Your care. I notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, if you happen to have some care, cast it on the Lord. Well, if there's by chance you come across something that upsets you, cast it on the Lord. As I read this, I find not a possibility of us having some anxious care. I see the assumption that we do have anxious care. You see it? Casting all your, not possible care, but all your care. Fact of the matter is we have cares. We have things that bother us. There are situations and trials and burdens and adversity. And needs come up and, man, they upset us. And if we're not careful and we don't deal with it correctly, we lose our peace of mind. Job chapter 5 and verse 7 says this, as the sparks, yet is a man born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. Now, I don't know about you, but I love a good old campfire. In fact, I don't like just a little one. I want this thing blazing. I mean, I don't want a little, you know, some people build this little campfire. They got two sticks, a little fire. Oh, that's nice. I want it burning. And do you ever watch that? Do you ever sit around a campfire and it's like no matter where you sit, that smoke and sparks blow towards you? Anybody ever notice that? Sit here, it's all blowing on me. I move over here. They say that smoke and sparks follow handsomeness. And that's been my experience. But Job says that a man is born unto troubles, trials, things that hurt us and trouble us and disturb us, just like the sparks fly upward. If you watch those sparks, they come constantly, just one after another. Do you ever notice that? Do you ever notice in life you got a situation, oh, it tore you up, you finally got that settled, and before you know it, there's another one coming along. You follow what I'm saying? And then another one. And then sometimes two at a time. And it's like, do these things never quit? Do these things, it's just one after another. It's just one thing after another. And so, he makes an assumption here that we're going to have troubles. We do. We have trials. Take your Bible with me. Again, keep your place here. And go with me to Matthew chapter number 6. Jesus talks about this. Matthew chapter 6. Everybody with me? Everybody doing all right? Are you stressed? Yeah. Hang around. You'll get stressed before we finish here. And then we'll solve it before we're done. And I guarantee this. I was thinking while I was talking here a minute ago, all across these pews, I guarantee you, tell me if I'm right or not. We put on a smiley face. We sing the songs. We walk out. We say, how's it going? Oh, praise the Lord, going great. But on many, many cases, more than we care to admit, inside there's stress, there's care, right or wrong. We put on that. We got it. It's real. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 25. Wherefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? You know what the Lord is addressing here? That taking no thought. You know what it means? Don't let it stress you out. Don't get worried about that. Don't you be worrying about these things, food and clothing and bills being paid. Don't you worry about that. Don't you take thought for that. And he's addressing this matter of stressing. I wonder how many of us ever get cares or get anxious about paying bills. I get anxious. Oh, no. What's the economy going to do? Yes. I mean, all these things work us up and all these things. And we get all stressed out over this. Jesus says, don't you let these issues in life, these cares of life, stress you out. Come over to chapter of Luke, the book of Luke, and chapter number 8. Again, the Lord addresses this. In fact, in Luke chapter 8, he suggests that this cares of life, if we don't deal with them correctly, if we don't keep them at bay, that they're going to hinder our Christian growth. Look in Luke chapter number 8, verse 13. Verse 11, he says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. He told the parable, the guy sowing seed falls in on the pathway, some on stony ground and thorny ground. And he's explaining, he says, those by the wayside, verse 12, are they that hear, then cometh the devil, taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word of God with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Did you ever sit in church and say, hey, that fellow got saved some weeks ago, a couple months ago, whatever happened to him? Anybody ever say that or think that? Sometimes it's because of the rocky ground. And maybe somebody gives them a hard time and they don't go on for the Lord. Look at verse 13, what he says. And verse 14, I'm sorry. And that which fell among thorns. Now he's explaining what he means by this. Are they which, when they have heard, go forth. Okay, they got saved. They heard the gospel. They got saved. They're going out. They want to grow. But something happens. They go forth, and look at this, and are choked with what? Cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And bring no fruit to perfection. Listen, if you and I as a Christian don't learn to get a hold of this matter of worrying and being anxious and stressed out, if we don't get control of that and deal with it the way God says, it will hinder our spiritual growth. It'll hurt our effectiveness. And serving the Lord, the cares of this life choked it out, his fruitfulness for the Lord. And so the cares of life are very real. Every day, cares of life, we all face them. We got bills to pay. We've got issues to deal with. We got a boss at the work gives us a hard time. And the job may be closing down. And we got family members causing grief. And we got financial issues. And the bills are going, the funds are low and the bills are high. And we let that stuff get to us and pull us apart. And if we're not careful, these cares of life will destroy our spiritual growth and eat away at our faith. Take your Bible, if you would, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul talked about cares that he had to deal with. Stress and anxiety in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And his comes from a source you might not thought of. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And look with me, if you would, at verse number 28. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. This is his second preserved letter for us. And verse 28, he says this. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28, he says, Well, let's get the context here. Come back up to verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? And they've been comparing Paul to other preachers. And he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, but I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often, his life was in danger because of his ministry. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, floating in the ocean, a night and a day. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. Good night. Anybody want to go into the ministry? He's saying, this is what all I suffered because of my commitment to Christ, God's call to the ministry. And then look what he says there in verse number 28. And besides those things that are without, all this list he just gave, I got to deal with all of that. And then look what he says. That which cometh upon me daily, look at this, the care of all the churches. You know what he was saying? He's saying the ministry, serving God and serving others, can produce stress. You show me a Sunday school teacher. You show me a Sunday school teacher that loves their students and is concerned and burdened for the well-being, the salvation and the spiritual well-being of their students. And I'll tell you what, I'll show you a teacher that sometimes worries over those students, right or wrong. Oh, I'm worried about little Bobby who goes to that home. Oh, it's rough. Oh, wake up at night. Oh, I wonder how Susie's doing. Her mom has got cancer. Oh, that little new student come in my class and I don't know if they're saved or not. And I gave them the gospel. They didn't get saved. And I'm just concerned. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ask a pastor if there's ever stress involved in worrying about people and concerned about situations and issues. And Paul said all of that, the care of the ministry. I tell you, if a Sunday school teacher or a bus worker or a church worker or a pastor does not learn to deal with anxious care scripturally, they can get knocked out of the ministry awfully quick. And it has happened more than a few times. And so the cares, the assumption here in our text verse is that we're all going to face cares. Even in the ministry, we'll deal with it. Interaction with people. And then he says back here, come back to Peter again, if you would. I want you to notice he says, casting all your care. So the assumption is all of us have care and all of us have personal worries, things that we're personally involved in. I have more people talk to me. They're worried about the economy. They're worried about our country. They're worried about the government. They're worried about this and all. Oh, they're worked up about that and they're stirred up about this and they're all fired up about that. And, we need to give attention to that. But I'll tell you the worries and the cares that really get down deep. It's those personal ones that we deal with. It's the interpersonal struggles in a marriage or a home, right or wrong. That wayward child. I tell you, you want something to keep you up at night, you get a wayward child. Am I right or wrong? You get a struggle going on in the family. Boy, that thing just eats away. That personal anxiety, those personal cares can just eat and tear us up. And so Peter's writing under the inspiration of God and he says, casting all your care. The assumption is that they're there. The fact is that care and worry is a real part of life. And every one of us must deal with the cares of the lives we have. Let me see if you agree with this statement. Everybody with me so far? Hanging in there? Let me see if you agree with this statement. It's not hard to find something to worry about. Huh? It's not hard to find something to stress out about. They're on every hand. It's all around us. Within the body of Christ, without the body of Christ. The care. So I see an assumption here. Casting all your care. He's writing to them. He knows they have it. It's reality. Peter knows about it. He had the issue of, remember when Peter denied the Lord 3 times? And then he wept and he went out. And after the resurrection of Christ, they meet the Lord on the seashore there. Anybody remember reading that in John? The Lord had a little fire and had some fish. And he calls Peter and he said, Peter, lovest thou me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. And he asked him again, Peter, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, I love you. Thou knowest. Feed my sheep. And he asked Peter the third time. And the Bible says that it bothered Peter. And I'm not quoting exactly, but it says it bothered Peter that the Lord asked him the third time. You know what that was? That was anxious care on Peter's part. You know what I think? I think Peter was bothered by his failure. I think it ate away at him. I think it stressed him out. And the Lord was confronting that and saying, Peter, we need to deal with this. You need to take that anxious care and that worry and that what's tearing you apart, and you need to bring it to me and love me and trust me, and you be about my Father's business. You get out there and feed those sheep. You get out there and feed those lambs. Peter knew what he was talking about. He had felt that anxious care. And so he's writing to them and he's making this assumption, this implication. We all got it. Second of all, real quickly, I noticed the action of the saints, what we're told to do. And he says there, verse 7, the very first statement, casting all your care upon him. I like that word casting there. It means to throw something upon. I did a little study of it. That word is only used twice in the Bible, by the way. Right here, it has the idea of taking something that's in my hands and casting it onto something else, placing it. It's not just slinging it randomly. It's taking that burden, that care, that issue that's tearing me up and casting it, placing it onto someone or something else. It has the idea of quickly placing it on another. I like this definition, to transfer the possession of one person to another. Do you get the picture? I've got this anxious care. I've got this situation. It's tearing me up. It's eating me up. This need, this circumstance. Oh, I don't know what to do. I can't sleep. I can't eat. Lord says, you take that care, that anxiety about that, and you quickly give it to me. You put it in my possession. The other place the word is used is in Luke 19:35. We won't turn there, but this is when the Lord is about to enter Jerusalem on the triumphal entry, we call it. And they got a little colt, and the Bible says the disciples, when they got that colt at the instructions of the Lord, they took their garments and they cast them on that colt. Anybody remember reading that? They took their garments off of themselves and they cast them onto that little colt. That's what Jesus said that we're supposed to do with our cares. Take them and cast them onto the Lord. Notice he says, casting all your care. That's every little thing that's eating away at me. All of them. How many people here believe we ought to take our big worries and give them to the Lord? How many people believe we ought to take our little worries and give them to the Lord? All of them. You say, oh, the Lord, this here just eating away at me. It's just a little something, but it bugs me. Oh, it's getting me. It's too small to give to the Lord. No, he said, casting what? All your care on the Lord. All your care. Each individual, everyone. And it has this idea, the word all means every individual one. And it means this, completely on the Lord. In other words, take that care, that thing you're so upset about, and put that in the Lord's possession, cast that on the Lord, and then take your hands off of it. So putting it completely. You know what we do? We put it on the hands of the Lord, then we hold on to it just in case. He says, you give it completely to the Lord. Get your hands off of that. I like Psalm 55:22. Says almost the same thing. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Another thing I noticed about the wording here, casting all your care, it has this idea, keep on casting it. Keep on casting it. Keep on casting it. In other words, like those sparks that keep coming up out of that fire, that trouble just comes one after another. Whoom! Oh, brother. All right. Go out in the Lord. Boom. Another one. Good night. All right. Boom. Good. Great. No, two at a time. You get the picture? And just keep on slinging them over there. Just keep on casting the Lord, casting the Lord. And here's what we do. Like I said, sometimes we throw them on the Lord. And then we get home and say, boy, preacher preached on cast the Lord. I went to the altar and I put it all on the Lord. Monday morning we get up and what do? We'll get that back again. And we all worried about it the next morning, right or wrong. When you go reaching, you find yourself, your mind going back to that again. You say, nope, I'm going to cast it back on the Lord. And you end up with, oh, I'm throwing it back. And we're a mess, aren't we? We know what the Bible says and we'll do it. Then we'll turn around and undo what we just did, right or wrong. If I ever start a church, besides if we ever rename this church, I'm going to call it Messed Up Baptist Church. Because we're all messed up. And we do that. And the Lord says, you just keep on casting. You just keep on slinging it over there. Casting on the Lord. You say, how do I cast my burden on the Lord? How do I cast all my care on the Lord? Well, I'm glad you asked. Number one, I think this, keep your priorities right. Matthew 6:33, what's it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things that you're so worried about. Read the context. All these things you're taking thought. All these things that are eating you up. You seek first the kingdom of God. God says, I'll take care of them. You know what we need to do? We need to get our eyes off of our problems and on to the Lord. We need to start living for God and serving God and not all these little temporary issues of life and trust God with them. Now, it doesn't mean we neglect the other issues, but it does mean we don't stress over them. God will take care of you. Seek first the kingdom of God. I can testify to this. I claimed that verse in Bible college. I mean, I'm telling you, you're going to be amazed by this. It's truth. It's absolute truth. There are times I went 2-3 weeks. One time I went a month. I had $1 in my pocket. A whole month. This is like 1983. I was 82, I think. There was hardly any work. I'm washing my clothes in the tub, bathtub in the dorm. And with soap, scrubbing them, rinse them out, hang them up. I was doing everything. You know what? God saw me through that and met every one of my needs. I'm here to tell you, if we get our priorities right, God will help us. That's part of putting all my care in the Lord. I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to focus on this. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to keep my priorities right. Number two, I put this down. I get it from Philippians chapter 4. Keep my prayers active. Be careful for nothing, he says. Careful, worked up, all full of care. Be careful for nothing. But, help me, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, part of the way of, you know, part of the aspect of casting all my care on the Lord is I bring it to God in prayer. Lord, I'd sure like for this need to be met. That's my request. Thank you for all you've done for me. Lord, I'm pleading with you. Lord, I'm bringing this to you. That's casting it on the Lord. That's putting it in God's hands. And I put this down. Keep my perspective on Jesus. I love Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's been our theme here at Mountain Lake. I believe God's honored that. We've looked to the Lord. Keep your focus on Christ. Don't look at all this. Somebody put it this way. Look around and you'll be distressed. Look within and you'll get depressed. But you look to Jesus and you'll be blessed. Isn't that good? So casting all your care. And I end with this. Number three, I notice here in Peter, the attitude of our Savior. Casting all your care upon Him because He doesn't care at all about you. Doesn't say that. It says, casting all your care upon Him. Why? Help me. For He careth for you. He careth for you. The word careth here is a little bit different idea than the first careth there, casting all your care. For He careth for you. It means this, to be concerned about. Not eat up with. but to have a compassionate concern about. I like this definition. For he careth for you. He is affectionately interested in your needs and my needs. I'm glad when we prayed down here a little bit ago in men's prayer meeting, we had requests. There's about, I don't know, five or six of us down there. We prayed. We prayed to a God that was affectionately interested in the burdens and needs that we have. You go home tonight, you have your family devotions, you get mom and dad together, get the kids around. Maybe you read some scripture, or in the morning you get up, you read some scripture, and you bow your heads, and you're praying to a Lord that is affectionately concerned about the needs of your family, the problems you're facing. That's the attitude of our God. He cares for us. We have many cares and worries. Jesus only has one care. And that's you. That's me. He cares about us. You know, knowing someone cares helps us through a lot of trials, doesn't it? Just knowing someone cares. These believers are facing intense persecution. Many of them are alone. They've lost loved ones that have been martyred because of their faith in Christ. They're in a new, strange area with strange people and enemies on every hand. And no doubt, this intense persecution, this overwhelming adversity caused much stress for them. And I tell you, when we're going through a difficult time, if we're not careful, it's easy to think nobody cares. Have you ever been there? You ever just thought to yourself alone late at night, nobody cares? Can I get a witness? Anybody ever been there? Sure, nobody cares. Who cares about me? I'm here to tell you, God cares. Somebody does care. The Lord cares. The disciples were out in the storms on the ship and the storm blew up. And they got scared and they were fearful for their lives. And the Lord was asleep down in the ship and they came to him. They woke him up. And what did they ask him? Carest thou not that we perish? Did the Lord care? Sure, he cared. Sure, he cared. He had that. There was nothing to worry about. He was in control. They were in a storm and they thought, nobody cares. Nobody cares. But the Lord cares. And Lazarus' sisters, now they didn't word it exactly this way, but they sent for Jesus when Lazarus was sick. And the Lord delayed his coming deliberately. And 4 days later, when he finally showed up and Lazarus had been dead now for some time, Mary and Martha run out to him. They didn't say it worded exactly this way, but they said, didn't you care? They said, Lord, if you had been here, our brother had not died. Implied in that statement was, Lord, didn't you even care? We told you. Did the Lord care? Sure he cared. He had a plan. He was going to show his power, raise Lazarus from the dead. The Lord cares. Sometimes we get in a situation and just knowing that somebody cares helps us get through that. Before I was saved, I was such a mess. My teenage years were such a disaster. One summer night, we went down to a rock concert in South Philly. The place was called the Spectrum, was the big theater, thing there. We went down, big, sinful, wicked night. It went long into the night. What we would do is we'd take the train down to the train station in South Philly, and then we'd get the subways and take them over to the Spectrum. We got out of there late and just such a wicked mess. And by the time we got out, the subways had quit. The subways were running. We got the subway to the train station, but the trains had quit running for the night. And so we're stranded at the train station in downtown Philly, 3 o'clock in the morning, 15 years old. A bunch of others, drug addicts, just the most wicked you can imagine. And here we are. I'm scared to death. Thought came to my mind. Daddy cares about me. My daddy back home, he cares about me. I can call him and he will help me. Remember, anybody here remember phone booths? I had a quarter or whatever it was. I found a phone booth. Hello? Dad's sound asleep. Truck driver, he's get up and leave in a little bit. I said, Dad, this is Danny. I'm stuck down here. I'm scared.
Daddy, can you come and help me? Can you get us? He said, what time is it? I said, it's late. He called work, said, I'm going to be late getting in. He drove hour and a half down South Philly, down through those slums, got down to the train station. And we're standing there, all people around, we're scared to death. My daddy pulled up and tooted the horn. I tell you, that was one of the most beautiful sights in my life up to that point. Daddy cared enough to come and get me. Years later, I got under conviction. Daddy'd been praying. His testimony was so powerful. I began reading the Bible. My life, I said, Lord, I need you to help me. I'm such a mess. And I read my Bible and I found out that God cared about me also. And God would help me and God would save me if I just cast all my care on Him, bring my sin and my wretched life and put it in His hands. God cared for me. Daddy came and got me and rescued me. And when I called on Jesus Christ, He came and got me and He rescued me from sin and hell. I'm here to tell you, God cares about you. Jocelyn, would you come up here? Jocelyn's going to represent your average Christian. Come up on over here. And she is your average Christian that she loves the Lord, but there's a lot of problems in life. And there's a lot of struggles and difficulties and cares. And boy, they get so heavy and they are just weighing her down, bend down like it's really heavy. Oh, and she can hardly walk. It's so heavy. Hardly walk. And oh, it's such a burden on there. Pastor Matt, come up. Would you come up here, Pastor Matt? All right, you're still burdened. Oh, and she's sad. It's making her so sad. It's hard to be sad when you're smiling. And Pastor Matt, you're over there. And but she heard a preacher one night. She went to a Baptist church and she heard the preacher say that she could take those cares and cast them on the Lord. Now, Pastor Matt represents the Lord. I think the Lord looks a little better than that. But anyway. And so Jocelyn, just your average Christian, has the cares of this life. And she hears about casting them on the Lord and she takes those cares and she brings them over to Jesus and she takes them off. And she gives all those cares to Jesus and let Him care. Does He have a problem carrying them? No, He can handle that easily. And He takes those. And now, oh, that weight's off her back. And praise the Lord, she can hop and skip and jump. She can, but she's not going to. And she's happy and smiling. And go ahead. She cast her care on the Lord. What we just illustrated here is exactly what Jesus is saying for you and I to do with our burdens. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask you to help us to take our care and cast them all on you and just trust you with it. Put it in your hands and leave it there. Take our burden to the Lord and leave it there. Father, bless our invitation. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Let's stand.